join me as we welcome Rupert Waits.
And I don't need the mountains, and I don't need the trees. I don't need the splendor of the sun that shines on me. I don't need the treasure buried out at sea. I don't need the lovely temples of antiquity. I've traveled far, and all that I've seen left me cold. Twisted and scarred, nothing could move in my soul. I'm amazed by your love when I gaze in your eyes. I hope it stays with me now and all the days of my life. Dreams claw at me in the night. Whisper of tragedies not yet come to light. We must hold on to these precious times when I'm here by your side and you are by mine. Wonder is all that I see. It's better than the mountains, better than the trees. It's better than the splendor of the sun that shines on me. Better than the treasure buried out at sea. It's better than the lovely gardens of antiquity. I'm amazed by your love when I gaze in your eyes. I hope it stays with me now and all the days of my life. 'Cause I'm amazed by your love when I gaze in your eyes. I hope it stays with me now and all the days of my life.
Rupert Waits here at the Saturday Light Brigade. What a beautiful song. Tell me about that song, if you could.
Thank you. Well, I wrote that in 2018, I believe. We have a little cabin in Colorado, which is where my second home is. My main base is New York City. And that's why there is imagery in that song, if you notice it, of trees and mountains and forests and rivers, because I was walking around the hills around our house in Colorado, and those are the images that suggest themselves to me. And it's just a love song. That's pretty what it is.
It sounds older than that, too, in a good way.
Thank you. It sounds
like a song that's been around for a long time.
I do interpret that as a compliment, because I think someone has said to me about my new CD, which is called For the People, and I based a lot of the songs on old English folk tales, that they sound ancient and contemporary.
Yes.
At the same time. And I interpret that as a compliment.
You should.
Thank you. I mean, that I think, you know, all one can really do with music is make the familiar sound new, make the existing and even the ancient sound new by some means of, you know, recombining or breathing some new life into it. So that's really all one can ever do as a songwriter. It's particularly apparent on my new CD because I base these songs on old folk tales.
The rhyme structure in the lyric of that song, too, it's wonderful.
Thank you.
To listen to.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So Rupert's here in Pittsburgh, I think, for the first time. Am I right about that?
No, I've played here. I've played here a few times over the years. I've done a house. There's a house concert I used to play here. I don't think it's still running anymore. That was central downtown Pittsburgh. I can't remember the address. Then I used to play in a coffee house, church coffee house, not far from here. What was the name of that place?
I wonder, was that Allegheny? Let me get Brian's microphone on. That's got to be Allegheny.
Yeah, Allegheny Unitarian Church.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So I have played here a few times.
It's very close to here, too.
Right, right. And I sort of come past Pittsburgh quite a lot on my way to the west in Ohio. But yes, this is the first time I've actually stopped in Pittsburgh for at least 3 years.
Well, I'm so happy that you're able to be here. As folks can tell, there's some England in you, some London.
There is indeed.
And tell me just a little bit about
Well, I'm from London, England, yeah. I left England in 2000, I think it was, and I went to Paris initially for 5-6 years, lived there. And at that time, I wasn't really going anywhere. I was, as it were, running from England. I didn't really have a direction at that time. But when I was in Paris, I was playing music, and I realized that it was what I really wanted to do. It was largely thanks to the French, actually, who the French audiences who encouraged me to do it. Whereas in London, I'd had very little encouragement. And the French persuaded me that I could play, and I came to America because this is where the audiences are, and I've been here ever since.
So your career was nurtured by that.
It was
exit,
yes.
From
it
London.
Was. I will always be yes. Absolutely. I mean, I'm one of these people who had to leave the place they came from in order to find themselves, and to achieve, you know, any kind of recognition. A lot of artists, I think, and people in every field, you know, are not always recognized at home. Family and friends, well, they don't take what you do seriously. You know, you want to be a musician? Go off it, man. But when you're a total stranger, people have got no reason not to take you seriously, you know. So, and also in America, in France, but in particular, in America, they reward hard work. They believe in hard work. You believe in hard work, which is not the case in England. In England, you know, they tend to want to pour cold water on everything you do if you care about it. So, if I sound a little bit admitted towards England, it's just not entirely true. I still love England. It's the place I come from. But I just wasn't getting anywhere there, you know.
That's so interesting. And it's different for every person and how they experience things. But this this idea, you know, of, you know, the prophet in your own town, or what it takes to be taken. Yeah,
well, I wouldn't call myself a prophet, but I certainly think that in the arts you have a lot of trouble convincing people that you're serious, and you know, and
definitely, yeah. And if you're in Boulder, Colorado, and you say from Pittsburgh, it's this.
Absolutely,
it's different than if you're from Pittsburgh and doing it, and it's part of the human condition.
That does work in my favor. I, you know, actually in the South of America, when I go to the South, I love the South. When I go to Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, places like this, they make a big deal of the fact that I come from England. Well, it didn't work for me when I lived in England, you know, that's for sure. You know, there was nothing special about speaking with a London accent in the UK. So, you know, that does work in my favor. And as a musician, you just have to use whatever you've got, you know, every advantage that you have. So.
Many of the radio features we produce here that do air here on our stations air in other markets, and I always get a kick out of that because, you know, from Pittsburgh, listen to what these guys are doing in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Rupert tonight is going to be at Song Space at First Unitarian. Beautiful space. Dan Petrich is going to be there. Brian Junker is here. I'm glad you could join us. Anything you want to mention about tonight? We'll give you a chance, by the way, before Brian goes into the lineup to maybe grab a pencil if you want to note some of the future shows. But what about tonight? Anything we should know?
Well, it's going to be a great show. I mean, you can already tell Rupert is a fantastic guitarist and songwriter. And
thank you.
Dan Petrich is a local Pittsburgh guy, and he's a little more successful in Pittsburgh. He's been on this show, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he's a great guitarist, too. A little different style than Rupert, so we have two really wonderful guitarists and singer-songwriters tonight, and I'm just really thrilled. It's going to be very exciting.
Well, it's a good combination, of course, as Brian, I'm sure you know, you found very often have a local guy and a guy from out of town. I mean, it's local people come to hear the guy they know, or, the, you know, guy or woman they know, I'm sorry, and other people might come to hear the person from out of town, you know, so it's often that's a combination that works, and of course we need all the help we can get in bringing people into the space, you know.
Especially, I mean, we still feel the effects of the pandemic.
Without any doubt.
Yeah, I mean, the audiences are growing, but they're growing from a rather low level, and they're actually getting to be pretty decent again. It's really wonderful to see.
Mm. Yeah, I keep calling it, you know, getting our mojo back. We're starting in the schools we work with and the other things we do. We're beginning to feel a little bit more like a human society again, slowly but surely.
It varies from state to state, from city to city, you know. But because I travel all over America, I get a full spectrum of people's responses and awareness of COVID, you know. I always did. Even in the middle of the pandemic, I was still on the road occasionally, not very often, but sometimes. I would go to places like Wyoming where they just did not believe the thing was real, you know. And I had to deal with that because it meant that I felt quite often not very safe, you know.
So,
And there were other places like New York where we had to take it seriously because you could hear the sirens every but the ambulances going past every 5 minutes. You know, it was very real.
Where's your home in New York? Are you right in the city? Or?
Yeah, well, it started off in Brooklyn, went then to Harlem, lived there for about 6 years, and now we're on the Upper West Side.
This is Rupert Waits, whose voice you're hearing right now. He's here on the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for listening. And before we talk too much, we probably should ask Rupert to play another song. Okay. You'll be able to hear him live this evening at Song Space at First Unitarian. Doors open at 7 o'clock. Well, show at 7:30.
Sorry, I would like to do an instrumental, actually. It's kind of medley. I heard that the Bach Choir was performing tonight.
Yes.
So we want to compete with that. I thought I'd play some Bach. Because if you come to my show, you'll get me and Bach. Two for the price of one. And then I'm going to go straight into one of my own tunes. The first tune is a Bach piece called Jesus, Joy of Man's Desire. Then I'm going to do one of my own tunes called I'll Never Tire of Looking in Your Eyes. Both instrumental. Thank you.
We like to get every last note in there. That was fun, and you are one good guitarist.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
How did you learn to play? Tell me a little bit about
that. I've always played guitar ever since I was about 16, but I didn't take it seriously really until I came to America. Actually, when I lived in London, I used to write music for other people. I had a publishing contract, which I still have, and I had to produce songs for other people. And I mostly wrote those on piano. And I played guitar, but not, you know, as a real... Well, I never really took it that seriously.
Did you do lyrics as well?
Oh, yeah,
as
yeah.
Music?
I've always written words and music. I did all kinds of stuff. I did films, you know, stuff for films, TV, I had jingles, a cappella stuff, you know, big orchestration, all kinds of stuff. It was the thorough grounding. But when I came to America and I brought my guitar and I went on the road, I realized that I could actually make a living playing guitar, you know, and singing. And ever since then, really, the guitar has, you know, I've worked it up more and more. So that it is much more of a, you know, a stronger part of my armory, and I now do classical recitals once a month as well on online recitals.
That's terrific.
Yeah. So it's you know, I feel, you know, America has a great tradition of you know, guitar playing, and you know, my influences were all people who listened to American guitarists. You know, the Beatles, just one example, but the folk movement in England as well, they all based their style on what was coming out of America, or many of them did.
I think about Leo Kottke.
Leo Kottke, yeah.
Michael Hedges, maybe. Mm-hmm. And John Fahey comes to mind, too.
Well, just Leo Kottke, certainly at the top of my list. So there's an interest in American guitar playing. There always has been, you know. With the blues and all the other forms of music that have come out of America.
So do you think when you were coming up, I think I know the answer to this, but that folks kind of conditioned you to think that a career in music was frivolous or not something to
absolutely.
Pursue?
Absolutely, yeah. I had to kick against it all the time. I mean, my dad died when I was a pretty young man before I left college, and I think if he had lived, I would still be fighting him, you know. He didn't think of music as a career, and I have learned that as a musician, you have to spend a lot of time sitting in your bedroom playing your guitar. You know, that's actually how you actually make progress as a musician. He was very unhappy with that. He thought that work was something that you did in an office space, with surrounded by your peers, or on a factory line, on a farm, but something that was physical and palpable. He never really understood that music was something that happened in the brain, you know, invisibly and in private, in secret. He wasn't happy with that kind of work, so he never would have encouraged me to pursue this. But he died, so I went ahead and did it. You know,
that's interesting to think about, because I, for whatever reason, I think we're starting to see it change a little bit, but when people decide to go into the arts, it's like, not a real job, not a real business, and that's hardly true.
Actually, to be a musician these days, I can tell you from personal experience, is one of the hardest vocations there is. Now, you can't do it unless you're very, very serious about it. So there's nonsense to assume that it's an easy option. It really is not. But leaving that aside, the arts generally, you know, all the arts suffer, I think, from people's attitude. It may be because you simply don't make that much money. I wonder how much difference it would make to people's attitude if we were all millionaires. But very few musicians are, certainly, and very few artists are. Or is it that we just don't do it, you know, work that seems to be... we don't do much visible work, if you see what I mean. It's good to go on stage and perform is a kind of work, but it's not so... it doesn't seem so hard, so arduous to someone who works in a factory or, you know, or...
Sure, it's hard to imagine. I know I used to listen to the radio and I'd hear somebody who I really enjoyed when I was a kid, and I said, oh, great, this would be a lot of fun, and you only have to work for 3 hours, right? Because that was the length of his air shift.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and, you know, this would be fun. You get on stage and you play these songs and then you're done.
Yeah.
The amount of practice and precision and repetitive work you have to do to get there, let alone the creative aspects of it and everything else. The publishing work you did in England sounds fascinating, too. And it must have really helped you understand the business of music in a way that most musicians don't.
Well, I did, but you know, it's changed so much. I mean, when I signed my publishing contract, that was in the early 90s. And in those days, you had a piece of paper and you met the guy in his office and we were contracted and he gave me an advance, which I'm pretty much still paying off. I went out and wrote songs and we recorded them. I mean, that doesn't happen very much these days. Publishers don't play quite the same role, but my publisher would come to every recording studio, every recording session, and sit in, you know, and make comments and suggestions. That is not really imaginable today. The publishers just do not play that role, if indeed they exist at all. Most people are self-published these days, you know. So.
Do you think? My sense is there's an incredible market for certain types of music right now, whether it be for use in films, games, television, because as our country in particular and the world has decided to entertain itself to numbness in some respects, it seems like we're looking for lots of music. Is my perception right about that? There's probably a lot of competition, too.
There is. And my publisher, to whom I'm still signed, has done very little to get my music placed on films, but I know that it would work because whenever I hear listen to the soundtrack of a film, you know, on Netflix, wherever it is, I hear stuff that sounds just like mine. So I think, why can't I be up there with those guys? You know? So I think we should be working on it, but I think it might be easier if my publisher was in Nashville, maybe. Mm. Maybe they just don't know quite the right people because it is, as in so many areas of life, it is largely a matter of who you know.
Yeah,
you know,
cutting through all that noise has got to be difficult.
Yeah. Yes. So I fully agree. I would love to get into that. Well, friends of mine have done, but I haven't as yet.
This is Rupert Waite. He is performing tonight at Songspace at First Unitarian along with Dan Petrich. Doors open at 7. The show is at 7:30. I want to be sure we get another song or two from you. What would you like to do next?
Well, I'm just going to retune the guitar. Any guitar players are listening. This is a Loudon guitar, comes from Ireland.
I was going to ask you about that. I've never seen...
These are your Loudons. They come from Belfast. Usually I have several guitars with me on stage because I don't like to retune in front of an audience, but today this is a cheap gig, so I'm... Retuning a little bit here.
Tuning's always encouraged. You know, while you're tuning, Brian, do you have in your head who else is going to be part of the series this year?
I just wanted to say before I do that, this guitar has such a wonderful voice. It really does. It almost sounds like more than six strings. And it's not just the good playing, which is excellent. I mean, it has such resonance.
Yeah, it rings out nicely without sounding clangy.
No, not a bit. It's just rich and resonant, really nice.
Guys. Well, Loudon's they're a very top-end brand. I mean, you don't get them in Guitar Center. You have to go to a specialist store to buy them. Well, let me give you a song from my new CD, which is called For the People. I base the songs on old English folk tales. This is a song about a mermaid. This is called O Captain. O Captain, O Captain, we anchor. I pray for I may not return home till your anchor be raised. If you like my silvery tail, if you like my bright fishy scales and my hair much lighter than the breeze, let me show you how thankful I can be. Hear my loved ones calling to me from our home deep under the sea. Draw your anchor from the ocean floor, where it lies now blocking my door. Oh, Captain, we anchor. I pray I may not return home till your anchor be raised. My loved ones are hungry in their lonely cave. Oh, let not their watery home be their grave.
one of your kind, and his voice is sweeter than wine. I tempted him as I lay on the sand, and that same day he gave me his hand. Now each evening you may hear us sing to the moon and her sister the wind. They will send you calm and friendly seas if you'll grant this favor to me. Oh, Captain, weigh anchor, I pray. I beg you, let me go on my way. Have pity on this comely maid, for I may not return home till your anchor shall be weighed.
What an incredible player you are. I knew about your songwriting, but I did not really think that much about your guitar playing, but you are really unique in the intricate ways that you play. And kind of the, of course, those songs are different, but that song had kind of a galloping pace to it that carried the story. It's just really fun.
Thank you. Well, it's kind of, you know, in the old folk style, and it was appropriate to that that story, I thought. So I just went full out for the folk style.
We've linked to uusongspace.com, which is where you can find out more information about tonight's show in Pittsburgh. And Brian has some information. Brian Junker is a good friend of mine, but also a good friend of Pittsburgh's for all the musicians he's made happen at Songspace. So I know the Squirrel Hillbillies are in January, but I wonder if there's something between now and then.
No, there's not. So we, as you know, we only do 5 shows a year, and Rupert is show number 2. And that's partly because we can do a really good job with 5 shows a year. Yeah. If we have more shows, then you know, the volunteers get tired and it's hard to bring out audiences. But with 5 shows a year, every show is special, just like Rupert's show tonight will be special. And it's really important. Our middle show in January is always a local artist. And this year, as you said, our local artists are the Squirrel Hillbillies, who you know well, and I think a lot of listeners to Saturday Light Brigade know well.
I'm sure they do. Yeah,
yeah, and you know Gary, right? You know.
Well, we've only just met.
Okay.
But, I mean, I knew their material.
Yeah. So Gary Krauth is the guitar player of the Squirrel Hillbillies, and Jenny Wolsk is a singer and plays other instruments, and really a great group. It'll be really fun. They play really fun music, I think.
And do you know what the what shows 4 and 3, 4 and 5, I guess. That's
number
2.
Yeah, so that's number 3.
Or 3.
Yeah, that's number 3. So number 4 is, I just had it in my head and I lost it, so I'm just going to cheat and look at my phone. House of Hamel, which is, they're so good. I mean, just great. And they're from, they're actually based in Eastern PA, Eastern Pennsylvania.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, and they're kind of a, you know, kind of a mix of modern and traditional Celtic songs and almost Celtic rock kind of stuff.
I assume they were locally based because I don't know if you remember, there was a furniture salesman called Robert Hamel, and his house was called the, or his store was called the House of Hamel.
Right.
Maybe
I don't know if there's a connection, but I do know their music is fantastic, and it's going to be a really good show. That's on April 1st, as it turns out, so there may be some extra jokes that night. And then on May 6th, Jess Klein is coming up.
The other Jess Klein.
The other Jess Klein,
because
right.
there's a Pittsburgh Jess Klein who was just on the air with us recently.
Yeah.
And there's this Jess Klein.
Right. And she's actually, like Rupert, she's a nationally touring singer-songwriter, does kind of a mixture of folk and country-style music and lots of really – really meaningful stuff, a combination of kind of stuff that's just really fun to listen to and a certain amount of social justice stuff, too. So
take a look at the whole schedule.
I think she's also got the same agent. I have.
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're always a good sign.
Right, exactly. No, Vicky's been great. It's been wonderful to work with Vicky.
Oh, Vicky.
Yeah, Vicky Lightly.
Has been great.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it.
Rupert Waites is here now, spelled W-A-T-E-S, not the Tom Waits way, but
the correct way.
The correct way. And
the correct Waits.
Exactly. I think we probably are going to have time for three more, if you'd like.
Sure. I had another one from my new CD, which is based on old folk tales for the people. A lot of English folk tales that you read are about the sea, because the sea, England is an island, so this is loosely based on several old folk tales, and I call this To the Sea. Can you tell me where my true love lies? What's that to me? What's that to me? Did you hear her sing as she passed by? Follow the river to the sea. Were there wildflowers in her chestnut hair? What's that to me? What's that to me? It was for my sake she then did wear. Follow the river to the sea. She weighed on the sun warm sands, while the waves rise and fall, where the old ruined castle stands, and silence gazes from its walls. There she'll watch as the sailors make land, each with treasures galore. They will show her the pearls in their hands that they have brought from distant shores. And in time to come she'll not grow old. What's that to me? What's that to me? For the rusty coin she'll trade her soul. Follow the river to the sea. Can you tell me where my sweetheart lies? What's that to me? What's that to me? Did you hear her sing as she passed by? Follow the river to the sea. Follow the river to the sea. Follow the river to the sea.
Rupert Waites, I just answered a text message from somebody who's enjoying your performance very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we don't get the opposite too much. I don't think that would ever happen. If you have a question, if you're wondering about something that Rupert said, or have any words you'd like to pass along, you can do so at 412-200-5975. I'll get your text and I'll relay it to Rupert. 412-200-5975. Do you get back to England at all? Do you have family?
I have family there. I'm going back this Christmas because it's my mum's 90th. And I have actually a 2-year-old son. My first and only child, as far as I know. And it's probably be his only chance to meet my mum, because he doesn't really travel anymore. So unless we go over to England and introduce Gabriel, my son, to my mum, he may never get the chance to meet her.
This will be his first with COVID. You were probably not able to travel.
Yeah, nobody was traveling COVID, particularly with a 2-year-old or a younger baby. So we'll be going back to Christmas, Christmas to UK, and I will do a couple of shows there. The first time I played in England for about 20 years.
Maybe if they bill you, you know, as
from America, right? I like it.
Yeah, Rupert Waits from New York City. America.
That's exactly what we should do. Why didn't I think of that?
I love it. Why not? Yeah. What would you like to play next?
Well, as we've been talking about my name, let me do a song which is kind of a theme song for me. This is where I have to tune again, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm wondering if it's going to be about Rupert or about...
No, it's about Waits. The Waits part.
The Waits.
This is a song about waiting. Not waiting tables, but waiting for other stuff. This is called Waiting to Begin.
When I was a little boy, the world was like a Christmas toy. Like a game that I was sure to win, and I'm waiting to begin. Work hard and get ahead, in time all things will come, they said. That was only so much spin, I'm waiting to begin. Waiting to begin, I'm waiting to begin. Still waiting to begin. I'm still waiting to begin. I never crossed the starting line. The race has left me far behind. I'm no longer in my prime. Still the siren voices sing. They're calling from the promised land, stolen from me by some sleight of hand. Life's a shadow of the one that I planned, until I find the real thing. I'm waiting to begin, still waiting to begin. I'm waiting to begin, I'm still waiting to begin. Days come and go, and all I really know is that I'm slowly getting older. No more time to waste, about to join the race. It's already halfway over. Let me do all that I intend. I'm gonna give all that I have to spend. The road is rushing towards the end, but I'm waiting to begin. I'm waiting to begin, still waiting to begin. I'm waiting to begin, I'm still waiting to begin.
That song had everything. To it.
Well,
to me. Rupert, you're amazing.
Oh, you're too kind. Thank you.
Rupert Waits. And again, this intricate, which is the word I keep falling to rising to, this intricate guitar playing. The thing I noticed, too, it's taken me a while to realize it. You really have an interesting voice. And Did you do voice lessons, or how did your voice come about? You mentioned you were playing guitar at 16. I bet you were doing something beforehand.
Well, you know, singing again is something that no one takes seriously. Isn't it? You know, everybody sings, and you know, if you tell people you're going to be a singer, they'll laugh at you. But I don't think of myself primarily as a singer. I mean, I hear and work with lots of people who have astonishing voices. And I don't put myself in that category. I think that I can carry a tune and I can deliver my own songs well, but I'm a songwriter, primarily, and a guitarist, and then a singer, in that order, I think. I hear lots of people who have extraordinary voices, but I don't find that is actually an advantage for a songwriter. I think if you have your voice is too exceptional in its own right, it makes you lazy in your writing. And I can think of my favourite songwriters, and none of them are outstanding singers. Ray Davies, Nick Drake, Paul Simon, none of them are outstanding singers, but they're writing.
Burt Bacharach.
Yeah. Randy Newman, another one of my favorites. You know, they're not outstanding singers, but for that reason, their writing is so much better. But anyway, to return to your question, I did have some voice lessons in London, and it did me no good whatsoever because they tend to want you to sing opera. You know, and I'm not an opera singer. I could never be, you know, an opera singer. They wanted me to sing tenor roles, and I'm not built like a tenor. You know, I have a lightish tenor kind of voice, but it's not suitable for those enormous arias that they want you to sing. So that kind of stuff did me no good at all. What I found was, if you want to be a singer, you just have to sound like yourself, and people will accept it. As long as you're singing in tune, you don't have to have an outstanding voice, but you just need to sound like the person you really are, and your own natural voice, to get as close to that as possible, and it will work for you.
Yeah, there's something about, and I think that's it, what you just said, that makes perfect sense. There's also something in the tone of your voice that's almost like a natural reverb, not quite.
Well, that's good to know.
No, it's a good thing, and I can't quite put my...
Well, I'm actually got a bit of a cold at the moment, so I'm slightly maybe that helps. In Bob Dylan's case, it was notorious that his lousy cold that he had during his first recording session made the sound, and he was stuck with it ever since.
That would explain
yeah,
a lot.
Right, yeah, right.
It's something. It's not a cold. It's sort of a wholeness and organic. The only, and I don't like to draw comparisons, but. Josh White Jr. has a voice that is his own. You would never think it was anybody else's. It's fine, but I don't think he's had extensive training other than maybe listening to his old man. So and
another obvious example is Leonard Cohen.
A
writer I greatly admire, and. He didn't succeed as a songwriter until his songs were recorded by other people. Judy Collins, Joni Mitchell, you know, people like this, people who had beautiful singing voices. They kind of enabled him to make his way as a songwriter, and then he began to sing his own songs, and people were sort of a little bit slow to be persuaded, but they were persuaded in the end.
Try this one, famous blue rain, you know.
And his voice is very distinctive, but one mistake, however, I don't want people to think that I'm arguing that you don't need to have a technique as a singer, because you do. Technique's very important, but it's a means to an end, and the goal is to sound like yourself, primarily, you know.
It's so important, and you're the best person ever that can do that, any person, in terms of sounding like themselves.
Absolutely.
And especially if you're playing your own songs, you need to do that.
Mm.
We're down to one more. I want to thank you first for being here. I know you had a
nice to be
you
here.
I know you were somewhere relatively far away last night.
In New Jersey,
yeah,
Asbury Park.
So, that's
it's the coast. It's about 3.5 hours. No, 6 hours from here. Yeah,
yeah, that's a long trip.
It's about 8 hours from here, actually.
I hope that was a good show. Your music is available. The new album. We've linked to your website.
For the people, yeah.
Is it available in most places?
I prefer people to go for it on Bandcamp, because Bandcamp give much better deals than Spotify. But it's on Spotify, it's on Amazon, it's on iTunes. It's on all those forums, because like most artists, when you sign a distribution deal with CD Baby, all their outlets are the usual ones: Spotify, Amazon. You can hear the music on those forums, but I don't get any money really when people stream it on those platforms. Bandcamp is better.
Are there physical?
I sell CDs at shows most. In fact, I get through quite a lot of CDs. Everybody's here today that people don't buy CDs, but actually this year in particular, I sold more CDs than ever.
So here's the thing: if you really like the guy you've been listening to tonight, you can show up at the concert at Songspace at First Unitarian. You can listen to him, and you can also consider picking up a CD. Holidays aren't too far away. I hope you'll consider doing that.
So do I.
Brian, anything that we've missed that we should mention?
No, I think that's great. You know, doors are open at 7 tonight. The show is at 7:30. We'll start with Dan Petrich, and then Rupert will play, and there will be an intermission, so there's plenty of time to chat with Rupert and buy a CD if you're interested in doing that. I'm looking forward to buying one myself.
Oh, you get one free, Brian.
Well, I'll buy another one then. But anyway.
I like that. Get one free, buy one. Free.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's the reverse of the usual, yeah. Right? Yeah, but it'll be great. So, it's going to be a great show tonight, and I look forward to seeing everyone out tonight and also in January with the Squirrel Hillbillies and later in the season with other Song Space shows.
Let me thank Helen, Catherine, Risa, and Audrey, our poets from the last hour, and thanks to you,
thank you
for being with us today. Ricky and I will meet you here. We're going to let Rupert play us out. We'll thank you, Chad, for a great mix. And we'll meet you here next week for the Saturday Light Brigade. And Rupert, I like a guy that tunes. You got to like a guy.
I'm sorry. Yes.
No, it's good.
Not very polite when you're talking. How much time do I have?
We have about 2 to 3 minutes. Is that okay?
Yeah, let me just I'll do another Bach piece because it's, you know.
Perfect.
Is that a good idea?
Yeah. Thank you for being with us.
Not at all. Nice to be. This is Bach Ariosa.